Listener supported. WNYC Studios.
So many white guys.
So many.
So many white guys. So what?
How much whiteness? All over the place. God damn. So many white guys. So many white guys.
Hey, 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 hey. Welcome to So Many White Guys from WNYC Studios.
Oh my God.
That was really good.
Is this Staying Alive? Was that ABBA? Did you ever have a thing for John Travolta?
Yes.
Really?
Yeah. Some people are like, oh, I like him thin. I liked him a little with some LBs on him. A little, what did I like? Like, remember that movie Michael where he plays like kind of
the
like
angel?
Yeah, like a heavier set angel. I was like, yes.
I'm not that kind of angel.
What kind of angel?
You like
are
that
you?
Slick back long hair?
Yeah, that was like a cute moment for him.
My mom had a huge thing for Chris Noss or Note.
Well, get in for Christ's sakes.
Oh, yeah, Mr. Big.
I get it. You've never been in love.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah.
Suddenly, I felt the wind knocked out of me.
So I painted a portrait of him
for
my mom's Christmas gift 2 years ago, but I'm a terrible painter, and she never hung it up. I spent, like, a whole day on it. I even, like, shaded the lips in a light pink. It doesn't really look like him. His eyes are too small.
I need to see this painting.
I think it was more for me than for her at the end of the day, but... My mom and I would binge watch Law and Order together, and she would be crushing out.
Does your dad, like, have any celebs you had a crush on?
Oh, God. Okay, so he loves Law and Order. And
oh, Mariska Hargitay. Yeah, she's hot.
And he we were watching it, and then out of nowhere, he just goes, I wonder who does her makeup.
Is that what you're wondering about, Bob? The contouring? What fucking powder brushes she uses? I don't think
so.
So
strange.
Yeah, that's cute. My dad, he never admits anything. He's so cagey. I'm like, are you in the fucking CIA? Like, what's happening? But I think he was definitely into Jessica Alba. Like, he was for sure. Like, he watched Honey. And I'm like, there's no need for you to watch this, Dad.
You guys should come to my class.
Your class?
I teach hip-hop at the center.
The center?
Phoebe, I have to tell you something.
What?
I am having the time of my life right now because I have watched all four of the Honey movies.
You watched all four?
In the last 2 weeks.
Oh, my God.
We're doing it in reverse order.
Oh,
my God. So I started with the fourth one.
The worst one.
Okay, so then the second installment of all of the Honey movies takes place in New York City. Mm-hmm. But, like, it was obviously shot on a lot in Hollywood because there's this scene where she's, like, walking down the street and the street is called Stickball Avenue. And there's a palm tree in the background. And then she's like, living in New York is tough. But there's, like, palm trees.
I love Stickball Avenue. It's, like...
So lazy.
It's so ignorant. It's, like, what about Italian Pizzeria Lane? Jamaica hairstylist roundabout. Like, what the fuck? No one's played stickball in New York in 85 years.
I love that somebody was like, that's fine.
That's my favorite, is watching movies and TV shows where people clearly give up. That's great.
Have you been binging on anything terrible?
I haven't been binging on anything terrible, but I have been trying to convince British Bake Off to watch the Magic Mike series with me.
That's who the law says that you cannot touch.
But I think I see a lot of lawbreakers up in this house.
And he doesn't want to do it.
The dancing is great. Just watch it for the dancing.
I know, but I think he's like, I don't want to just see a bunch of like really ripped guys being hot and just like watching you like get a fucking clit boner.
That's so graphic. That was my nickname in high school. Just kidding.
So I think he's just like, I don't want to like watch you like lusting after people, which I'm like, yeah, but it's not like I'm like, ooh, Matthew McConaughey, let me like destroy my relationship and break up his family for like one night with his sausage.
You should just like leave little hints that you want British Bake Off to like lean into that aesthetic though. Like you should just have like a bow tie, like hide it under his pillow. Be like, I don't know how that got there. Or like knee pads.
Yeah. It's like I want a call to action from everyone on social meds. We gotta get British Bake Off to watch Magic Mike with little Phoebes. So let's get on it.
I think it's really amazing how you use your platform for such important causes.
But it's true. You know what? I feel like I'm giving back.
You are. Every day.
All right, it's time for some mid-roll, babies.
Carnegie Hall is one of the most famous concert venues in the world.
The first time I walked on the stage, I felt like my feet were not touching the floor.
Join us for If This Hall Could Talk, a new podcast that explores the history of this iconic landmark through the unique items in its archives. I'm your host, Jessica Vosk, and together we'll travel back in time to explore how the past shaped the culture we live in today. Listen to If This Hall Could Talk wherever you get podcasts.
Welcome back to So Many White Guys. Y'all, today's interview is a real Halloween treat. And we're not even in, you know, October. So, you know, it's like extra delicious. Anyway, I got to sit down with truly one of my favorite comedians of all time. I'm talking about Hannibal Buress.
Yes.
Ooh, that was a good one, Joni.
Yes.
It's like a sensual yes.
I feel like my voice is a little lower than usual today, so I'm trying to really lean into it. I loved this conversation. It was cool because I feel like I got to hear like a different side from him than I normally do.
Yeah, it's like he and I never really truly ever got the chance to like hang out and just like talk. So it was like really nice that we like got to talk about him touring, like his early days in New York and his sobriety, which is something that's pretty new. And like, I'm very proud and like happy for him.
Yeah, it's exciting. And it's cool to hear somebody talk about it so openly too.
Yeah. He's near and dear to my tiny, tiny little heart. I love him to pieces. And I really think everyone's going to enjoy this conversation. So enjoy. Well, Hannibal, I'm glad to have you on the show. You did Toot Up Queens a year and a half ago, maybe, with Jessica and I. And now you're doing So Many White Guys. And we're in Portland. I didn't think it was going to happen because you're in the middle of a stand-up tour.
Yeah.
How long is that going on for? Like 5 months?
Until all the numbers balance out. And, and so I'm like, that's enough. I can chill on this for a little bit.
But how are you liking the tour this time around? Because you've been doing stand-up for 12, 13 years?
16 years.
Is 16 years already?
I started...
Because you started in college.
I started in college in 2002. It's fun. It's interesting. One thing that happens is that girls you see in certain cities, they move on with their lives.
let's just dig into that a little bit. So say you go to like, I don't know, you go to Boston.
Yeah.
You hook up with a woman who attends the show.
Yeah.
And then do you keep in contact? Like, how does this work?
A little bit of contact. But yeah, it'd just be funny with some, you know, next time I come to town, she'd be like, I'm married now. I'm like, oh yeah, well, I guess you can't just wait around for me to come. You can't just wait on my 18-month tour cycle to kick things back off. Yeah, I got a baby now. Yeah, that makes sense.
Yeah.
That checks out.
So are you dating anyone right now?
I'm dating, yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
How is it? Because I feel like you're on the road, like, all the time.
I have some downtime. But, yeah, I am traveling a lot.
So how do you maintain a relationship at all?
It's tough. I mean, yeah. It's just a, you know, there's an understanding of what my job is, and, you know, I do my best. I mean, I gotta work.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's true. And so I read in an interview you said recently that you're sober now.
I haven't drank since January 2nd. Yeah.
Oh my gosh, congratulations.
Thank you.
How is that going so far? And what kind of made you decide to? Because I feel like the last time we hung out was at Bonnaroo.
Oh, I was fucked up at Bonnaroo. I mean, it's Bonnaroo, but yeah. I was definitely, you know. It's a festival.
Yeah.
And when it's free, that's a lot of times where things
right.
escalate.
Because they're just giving it to you. And you're like, okay,
and
sure.
Or it's just bottles around mm-hmm. when you're able to pour your own drink. I was talking about it yesterday where I figured, like, when you pour your own drink, you pour it like you make it up for all the times that bartenders gave you a short pour somewhere. Because I spend multiple times where I've been at it, I ordered a drink and they measured it. I'm like, you measuring it? At the bar, at my local bar, they just free pour it. You measuring it? Are you really going to do that 1 ounce shot shit right now? Which is, you shouldn't. You should want less poison.
Yeah.
But, yeah, it was just where I've been, like I said, I've been doing it, comedy 16 years. Mm-hmm. So that's 16 years being in bars a lot and being around it a lot. And even before you start getting paid in comedy, you get drink tickets.
Yeah, which is crazy.
They pay you in drinks. So
yeah,
it was just where, you know, things escalated a lot for me in certain situations where, you know, missed flights and, you know, missed appearances. Not a lot of missed appearances, but a couple and different things that have been affected by it where I had to kind of just, you know, look and take account of what I was doing. And also, it's just challenging mm-hmm. to try to do it. I've been doing this. It's always around. It's easy for me to drink as a touring comedian.
Yeah.
So just wanted to challenge myself and just get a different perspective, too, where, okay, I'm going to still try to have a lot of fun and go out, but do it without drinking. And it's helped my comedy and just given me different stuff to talk about because I've had the, you know, years of, yeah, and then we got drunk, and then I said this, and then I got drunk. I got those stories for days. So what about I was stone cold sober in the strip club? How about that?
Like, that is actually weird to be in a strip club and be fully sober.
Yeah.
That is bizarre.
Yeah. But I enjoy it, just, you know, popping up, not hungover.
Yeah.
Because I'm 35, so hangovers,
they suck. Yeah,
2 days and shit.
Yeah.
And so with my workload and the amount of things I have to do and I want to do, just having a hungover brain really doesn't fit in that.
So I want to go back a little bit. You're from Chicago.
Yeah.
And all your family's still there? Yeah?
My parents are still there.
Yeah.
My parents and my paternal grandmother.
Nice. So I think I remember you telling me when you moved to New York the first time, you were sleeping on the subway?
Yeah.
So we have backup. So tell everyone, like, what this story is.
My sister was living in New York, and so I popped up, and basically, it was super obnoxious. I was just basically, hey, you live in New York? I live in New York. I got $300 in dreams. That's crazy.
Yeah.
That's crazy people shit right there. Just pop up. It's just kind of
so you didn't call her or anything.
I mean, that's just, you know, 23-year-old hubris. So they accommodated me for 2 weeks. And it was, you know, she's married. They had a baby, my niece Peyton, and they had an extra room. And then for 2 weeks, I stayed there. And then they went on vacation somewhere, and then they didn't let me stay while they were gone, which is a fair play, I think. You know, like, are we going to let the dude who just showed up in New York out of nowhere?
Okay, but it's not the dude. It's you're her brother.
But yeah, sure.
You know?
But I did. I mean, but yeah, would you let that brother, after they just popped up at your crib?
Right, that's true.
Would you let him stay at the place while you're not there? What else is he capable of?
Yeah, it's
this is what they were thinking. But I was thinking, I was trying to outsmart them. I'm like, okay, that flight's like 7 a.m. And so I went out the night before, and I'm like, I got the key. I'm just stay out. I got this. So I stay out all night, mm-hmm. get back at like 8 in the morning or something, like, about to relax.
Yeah.
And then I open the door and the extra lock was still on it. The
little, oh, no.
Yeah, and so, and she was there. She was still there. She had waited. And I was like, oh, man. And she was like, you got to go. And then I bounced.
Wow.
But, yeah, some nights I would sleep on the train, which is just, you just ride the train. And then when it gets to the end of the line, you get off the train.
Yeah.
I mean, I was just coasting vagabond style for about, that was mid-January. So I left in May.
Wow.
So for 3 months, I was kind of, but it was also stubborn homelessness. I could have easily just went back to Chicago,
yeah.
but my pride, because I made a big deal about going to New York. But
so you told everybody that you were
going to New York, about to make it, but I would rather be homeless, do it over mics in New York, than go back to Chicago to be uncomfortable and saying, hey, it's crazy out there, you guys. It's different. It's not. But yeah.
Yeah.
That was a it was a pretty wild time. I kind of think about it a lot. I appreciate it just because struggling in New York for a little bit, getting a writing job, so kind of, you know, seeing the access to the other side and writing at Saturday Night Live was a big thing. That was a big step. And then, you know, doing other shit and working for a while.
I love how you just like breeze past writing for SNL. You're like, that was cool. Next.
Well, you know, because I didn't do much work there. I did work, but I didn't get much on. So,
yeah.
But it was awesome. It was a great step. That was the last time I worried about money. When I started getting that regular paycheck,
That's
it was so
nice.
Funny because I didn't have the bank that I was using back then. It was this bank in Chicago.
Yeah.
It's a Midwest-based bank called TCF.
I don't know that one.
Yeah, it's a reason.
Yeah.
They're actually a good bank, but it's Midwest.
Yeah.
Based, so they, I think I'm more lenient with taking new accounts because, oh, this is one thing that happened while I was in New York. When I was, I had a Watch the Mutual account,
mm-hmm.
and I was out of money. This is during the homeless run.
Okay.
And, I don't know what made me think of it, but you could do deposits at the ATM.
Yeah.
I did an empty envelope deposit. I was just like, let me try this because I ain't got nothing. And I did it for like $1,000. And I deposit no envelope, put $1,000, and that shit went through.
What?
Yes.
Oh my God. I wish I would have tried that when I was, like, dirt poor. That is, like, actually kind of genius.
Well, it is also fraud.
Right.
It's fraud.
But you didn't get caught or anything, so you had
Well, they found out, and then they kind of closed my accounts and put stuff on there.
Okay, never mind.
So then I couldn't get one of the major banks. I was kind of on that. What do they use? Check systems mm-hmm. or something as their credit check. But so TCF in Chicago was the only bank that they didn't care about that, or they had a different verification
yeah.
system. So I was able to get an account with them. So when I was first working for SNL and I was getting checks every week, I couldn't deposit them in New York.
Oh.
So I would have to fly back to Chicago to go to the bank sometimes. Sometimes I would make trips into Chicago in the morning, go to the bank, and then fly back to New York.
Oh, my God!
Like, deposit, like, 14 checks at once.
That is not economical.
It's not great for time. Economical,
yeah.
The flight's a couple $100. But as far as the process, there's better things to do with your time. Shit was messy for a while. My finances and credit shit was messy.
It's so good that you're now on the other side of that.
It's nice.
It's good.
And I watch documentaries about people going broke, so I
Me
never will.
Too. I do that too, and I get stressed out. That is the thing where I always wonder, are those shows like actually helping the person? Or is it just content for me to watch and be like, oh, I'm not going to do that, but that's like not benefiting the person who's actually in debt. I don't know.
On those jail shows, do they have to just sign off? You're doing this show. We're doing a documentary. You're in it. tell your story. I don't know the rules on that. I think about those two. I even think about the like Animal Planet animals. I'm like, Animal Planet making bank. Because they ain't got to pay these goddamn animals. Just get the camera, pay the camera guy, get you a voiceover person in there. Everything else is profit, and you just swim in all that Purina dog chow advertising money.
Okay, so when we did shows at Bonnaroo, you have DJ Tony?
Yeah, Tony Trim.
Yeah, and so what's great about is that you are mixing comedy and music together. If no one's has seen you live yet with DJ Tony, it's like so funny. Like you came out with that song, Gibberish Rap, which became huge in Norway, if you want to explain Gibberish Rap.
I just started saying that. It's just
not true.
It's just a one of those jokes that's really a joke. It's just a lie. And I just kept saying it.
Well, you do realize, you know, people do research. And if you say this enough, it ends up online as credible research.
I know. These days it's easy to kind of, you know what else? I put in one of my bios I'm a poker player and a magician. And so sometimes I'll go into an interview and they'll be like, so you're a magician. Talk about that. And I'm like, where'd you get that from? Oh, I put that up there. Hey.
So it didn't make a splash over in Norway.
I don't know. Sometimes you don't know what's going on.
Okay, but you came up with Gibberish Rap, which, if you want to explain to everyone listening how you came up with it, it is so funny.
Do you splice stuff in on here?
Yeah, they'll play. They can play underneath. You okay. Have the capabilities for that.
All right, this is goddamn WNYC. Y'all got that shit. So it was a few years ago. I think 2012. Tony Tram will put out these mixtapes, just different tracks he liked, and he wanted me to host it and talk over it and stuff. And so I was just, you know, hosting and freestyling and all over it. But it was this one beat that came on. Rapping, rap, rap, rapping. I'm rapping, rap, rap, rapping. And then I just freestyled the shit, rapping, rap, rap, rapping, and rap, rap. And then we were listening back to it, and I'm like, I feel kind of catchy. We start doing some ad libs on there where I just go back in over the song, yeah, and then put it out. I'm rapping, 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 in my socks rapping, got on my jeans, degrees, put them on. Do it, and then I wanted to perform it, but I didn't think the song was good enough to stand alone by itself. So to cover up for that, I started hiring ballerinas.
Yes.
I started getting costume characters. I would have SpongeBob. I would have Mario and Luigi. And I think it was pretty unexpected.
Right.
Yeah, it was just a fun, goofy thing, you know?
Yeah. I feel like I could tell that you work very hard and you think a lot about what you're doing, but I feel like you're also having so much fun with everything that you're doing. Like, every choice that you make is, like, it's intentional, but it's also, like, I'm loving the fuck out of doing comedy. And one of my favorite things that you've done recently is you had someone go as you at the Spider-Man premiere.
Right.
Okay, so how did you come up with this idea to be like, okay, I'm just going to have someone impersonate me? Was it just to try and see if anyone would realize that wasn't you? Like, what sparked this idea for you?
It was really, I was filming at the time, so I couldn't make it. And I was just thinking, man, this is the Spider-Man premiere.
Yeah.
So I was like, I don't want to not be a part of this. So it just came to me while I was like, I just sent somebody there for me. And actually, this guy who did, he stood in for me at this MTV Awards thing that I shot. I hired him because he knows how to be on set. He's a working actor, so he's not going to do any crazy shit where, you know, some rando from the street. So I knew, because I wanted it to be a fun thing.
Yeah.
And I didn't want somebody to compromise everything. I said, play it straight. Don't be all goofy. Don't disrespect anybody. This is just a visual bit. Because that's the only thing you can do with red carpet interviews, if to try to shift it.
Yeah.
And so, yeah, I just wanted to try it. And I told him the name to drop when he got there. And he got there and I was watching it on Instagram Live. And he was like, being an avatar or something.
That's so crazy that, like, so he had, like, all the credentials that said
yeah, the credentials, the email, stuff that out. Yeah.
Wow.
I'm here with Hannibal Paris.
It sure looks like your normal interview on the red carpet. Just one problem. That guy is not in the movie. So who is the doppelganger? We tracked him down in Los Angeles.
Did that reporter think you were Hannibal Buress?
I think she did.
They ran up on that dude. Inside Edition ran up on that dude.
Right, right, right.
The next day. Like, where was Hannibal? Where? Dude, why was he doing this? Is it this? What's his reasons for this? Jesus Christ. It's a goddamn red carpet about a dude that's also a spider. People are like, oh, he's making a statement on this, and he's trying to say that they don't know that they think we look alike. It's like, no, right. I was just trying to have, doing a bit, having fun.
Yeah.
But yeah.
Yeah. And so you're back in Chicago near yeah. your family, yeah?
Yeah, New York yeah. was starting to, idle time in New York. If you got idle time and access, you get fucked up.
Yeah.
Well, night, yeah, New York nights can take a turn. So yeah, it was just mm-hmm. more of a, I could do more at home. I'm working on a lot of stuff in Chicago on the real estate side, and I got this other building that I'm working on turning into an art center, just have different classes.
Wait,
and
seriously?
Program. Yeah.
Hannibal, that's amazing.
Yeah, I bought this spot. It's two blocks away from where I grew up.
Wow.
Yeah, and it's a big spot, so we got to do a lot of work to it. So I got working with this company to just go and do the consulting and get everything going.
What are you going to call it?
I'm not sure yet. The guy that's helping me with it, this guy Raymond, yeah. he's like, you should call it Hannibal's House. And I'm like, I don't know.
That's cute, Hannibal's House. Oh.
I don't know. But I'll think of something.
That.
I'll have a brainstorm session.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I think that, honestly, that's so great that you're like at this stage already. You're what, you're about to be 35?
35 already. Yeah.
Yeah, you're so young, and you're like, well, I'm going to just build an art center and, like, help have this be a place for other kids who want to, like, do
yeah.
artistic stuff. That's amazing.
I'm excited about it because it's not, I just mm-hmm. started realizing now that it's just not about what if I could. It's like, oh, how do we do it? Because it's nothing like that on the West Side, really.
Mm-hmm.
It's some stuff on the South Side, but as far as just arts programming and after school stuff, I know I didn't have that around there mm-hmm. when I was coming up. So I'm excited to just get it going and then start asking people for money.
Yeah. Oh, Hannibal, I'm so proud of you for doing that. Like, of everything, like, that to me is, like, the coolest.
Thank you.
I love this so much. I love what you're doing with your life.
I'm trying
it's
to,
great.
You know?
Yeah.
Sober up, art center, trying to grow up.
Okay, all right, cool. Well, this has been so much fun. Thank you so much for joining.
Thank you,
today.
Phoebe. This is fun.
Oh, good. Bye.
Later.
Whew. You know what was great about that, Joni?
Hit me, Phoebs.
It's that he was, like, so into it and so funny and honest and seems to be, like, doing so well in life. And it was just, like, very heartwarming.
Totally. It's cool to get, like, the deeper side. And it sounds like he's just, like, transitioning into a new stage of his career, too.
Yes.
That's awesome to hear about.
Anyway, guys, you know what? The show ain't over. As you know by now, we don't end it with the interview. We end it being joined by my lovely titty sister, Alana Rose Glazer, for a little segment I like to call Small Acts of Resistance.
Resist the system. Resist the man. Resist the dominant discourse imposed upon us by the establishment.
Small Acts of Resistance.
Yeah, so I started using this Diva Cup. I've been, like, writing material about it, and you know, for me, that has been progressive as hell, getting into a Diva Cup versus a tampon. But I have one or two friends that are, like, really far left when it comes to periods. And I just learned about free bleeding. And I thought it was kind of something of a joke. But it's actually, like, a movement that is starting where people are like, I don't care. I'm just going to stain my clothes and I'm going to freely bleed and live my life. That shit is fucking cool.
Yeah.
Cool as hell.
Yeah. I tried it when I went on a writer's retreat and I was like in a hotel. And so I just kind of free bled for a couple of days. And I definitely was like, this is scary. So the first 2 days I was like, I'm just going to like go to sleep and it's like fine. But then when it like got heavier, I was like, oh, no, I have to like stop.
So the first couple of days, even in New York, walking around, are you wearing nothing? Just underwear?
I'll wear underwear or I'll just wear like a really like super thin like panty liner. I'm like, mm-hmm. It's not going to cover everything. And I'm just like, yeah, I stay in my underwear. Who cares?
Yeah. Same here where I'm like, I'm just getting a little looser with it.
Yeah.
And also like standing underwear, I'm like, duh, that's what underwear is for.
Right.
What am I protecting this underwear that's already getting like shitty after, you know, whatever underwear. You got to like buy new underwear every 6 months.
Yeah.
It's like, yeah, bleed that up.
Right. I just think there's this whole notion that we have to apologize for our bodies being the way that they are, where men are just like allowed to like roam free. And I just want us to all feel empowered that it's like, if you want to wear a tampon, cool. If you want to free bleed, that's also fine. That doesn't mean you're like some crazy lady and like society should be scared of you. It's like, no, this is a person being like, I don't want to just shove just fucking shit up my vagina every month. I get that.
I encourage our listeners of all along the gender spectrum, let us know what your thoughts on periods are, what you do, what you don't do.
Yeah, it's a process for us, too. We're trying to figure it out. And I think that's the important part is, like, let's have this be an ongoing dialogue. Let's talk about our periods.
Yeah.
The So Many White Guys team includes me, Phoebe Robinson, Rachel Neal, Joanna Solitaroff, Megan Conane, Paula Schumann, Jenny Lawton, Jeremy Bloom, Isaac Jones, Matt Boyton, and Joe Port. Our theme song was written by a white dude and sung by a bunch of other white dudes. Head to the WNYC Studios Twitter page to check out sexy-ass behind-the-scenes extras from my interview with Hannibal. You can also follow me on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram at Dope Queen Phoebs. Don't forget to rate and review the show on iTunes. It really helps. And as you know, you can find us on Apple Podcasts or wherever you listen. So do it. Tinky. Bye, Q. Bye.